Hello, everybody. Good to be with you. Good to worship the Lord. Thank you to Claire and the team today. Let's give them a round. I've got 10 minutes. I'm stopping at 12. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. You're thinking, I wonder whether he'll keep to that, you know? We'll see. We've sung about being in the presence of God this morning. We've sung about being on the mountain. And we all want to get closer to God, don't we? Amen? A guy wanted to get closer to God, so he climbed Mount Sinai to get close enough to talk to God. And looking up, he asked the Lord, God, what does a million years mean to you? And God replied, a minute. So the guy said, so £1 million is like a penny to you. Yep, said God, that's absolutely right. £1 million is like a penny to me. So the guy said, Lord, could I have £1 million then? And God said, in a minute. Some people want to get closer to God. Some people get nervous about getting close to God. A man was visiting a mountainous region in Italy, and he heard about this beautiful monastery that was built high on the cliff face, perched high on the cliff top. And the only way to get to the monastery was via a small wooden seat that was raised by ropes and pulleys by the local monks. So he asked one of the monks if he could go and visit, and the monk got him in a chair, and the monk was sitting next to him in another chair, and off they went pulling the ropes. And halfway up, the man noticed that the rope on his seat was looking rather old and frayed. And he felt a bit nervous. And anxiously he asked the monk, how often do you replace these ropes? And the monk answered, only when they break. We all want to get closer to God. Some of us are close to God. And I believe God wants us all to be closer to him. And I want to turn you to 2 Samuel chapter 6 this morning, and I want to speak just for a few minutes about carrying the presence. Because I've been thinking recently more and more about the presence of God at River of Life. And I'm conscious, I don't know about you, but I'm conscious that we are sensing a new sense of the presence of God in our midst. And if you have been in our meetings that have been happening on a Tuesday night at the Revelation series, last Sunday, the new prayer and praise meeting, and indeed this morning, a wonderful sense of the presence of God. And we thank God for his presence. Amen? Because without his presence, this is nothing. The presence of God is absolutely vital. And the story here in 2 Samuel 6 is about King David bringing the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant, to Jerusalem. And verse 1 says, David again brought together all the able young men of Israel, 30,000. He and all his men went to Bala in Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim on the Ark. They set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the Ark of God on it. And Ahio was walking in front of it. David and all Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord with castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the Ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore God struck him down and he died beside the Ark of God. And David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah, and to this day that place is called Perez Uzzah. It means outbreak against Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me? He is not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David." Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Today's scripture is a record of an important event in the life of King David. He'd just become king of Israel, and David, in becoming king of Israel, had become aware of his divine destiny. And in 2 Samuel chapter 5, we read that David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel and had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people. In chapter 5 of 2 Samuel, we read of David's great victory against the Philistines and against the Jebusites. And here in chapter 6, we read of this great desire to bring the Ark of God to Jerusalem. Now, I want to spend just a couple of minutes reminding you what the Ark of God was. It's very important for us to see at this time that the presence of God in the Old Testament was defined and understood by this box. It was a box made of acacia wood. It was overlaid with gold. And the most important thing about it was that it was housed beyond the curtain in the tabernacle in a place called the Holy of Holies, a very sacred place that only the high priest once a year could enter beyond the curtain. And this box was overlaid on the top with a solid gold slab, which was called the mercy seat, or as the New International Version of the Bible translates it, atonement cover. At either end, there were solid gold cherubim. They were beaten. They were not cast. They were beaten from solid slabs of gold. And on the top of this wooden box overlaid with gold were the cherubim and the mercy seat. And the high priest would splatter the blood of the sacrifices upon the mercy seat, upon the atonement cover. Inside the box were the Ten Commandments, the ten tablets of stone that Moses had received on Mount Sinai. And that's why the ark was also called the Ark of the Testimony, because it was God's testimony, it was God's word enshrined in his presence. And so in Exodus 25, God says about the ark, "There I will meet with you, there I will give you my commands." And there is a parallel passage to 2 Samuel 6 here. It's in 2 Chronicles 13, and you can read it when you're home. And it tells us exactly David's motives in bringing the ark of God to Jerusalem. It says in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 13, "Let us bring the ark of our God back, for we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul." That word inquire literally means neglect. We neglected it. And of course, really in David's heart, he wasn't talking about neglecting a box. What is he talking about? He was talking about neglecting the presence of God in the reign of King Saul, his predecessor. And David felt that in the life of the nation's worship, the ark, the presence, had been neglected. And so he wants to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. He wants to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. And he's motivated by a desire to hear from God. David's great desire is for God to reveal himself. And it must be remembered that under Saul's reign, the glory had departed from Israel. The ark was taken in a battle by the Philistines. And you remember the story that when Eli the priest was sitting on the fence and the news came to him that the ark of God had been captured and that Israel had lost the battle, that he fell backward. And his daughter-in-law was expecting a baby by one of his sons, and she named the boy Ichabod because the ark of God had been taken, and because she said the glory has departed from Israel. The ark was the presence. And David remembered the consequences of not having possession of the ark, and it was a symbol of God's presence having left them. And so he's motivated to bring back the presence. He's motivated to bring back the presence of God and to hear from God. And we read this about him in the Psalms, his desire. Psalm 84, "My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out from the living God." How many of us say that on our way to church on a Sunday morning? Wouldn't it be great? My soul cries out for the living God. And he says it's better, one day is better in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And hearing from God means revelation. God revealed himself to Moses as a man speaks face to face. And it's interesting that that word in the Hebrew, presence, is also translated face. In Exodus 25:30, the bread of the presence can be translated the bread of the face. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord make his presence to shine upon you. And in Exodus 34, Moses comes down from meeting God on Mount Sinai, and the Bible says that he was not aware that his face shone because he'd spoken with the Lord. He wasn't aware of it. But you know, friends, today we're so self-conscious, aren't we? We have this thing called a selfie. Do you know what a selfie is? You've only got to go on Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat, and you see people are dominated by themselves. They take loads of pictures of themselves. I can't stand looking at myself in a picture. I even read this very week that there was a couple taking a selfie on a clifftop in a beautiful location, and they got so mesmerized and immersed in getting the picture right, they both fell backwards over the cliff and died. True, it was in the paper this week. Thank you, Beth. I'll give you the money later. Thank you. So there we go. He was motivated by a desire to hear from God. He was also motivated by a desire to change. In Luke 9:28, we read of one of the gospel accounts of the transfiguration of Jesus, where Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to a high mountain, and the appearance of Jesus is changed. And if you look at the language in Luke 9, verse 29, it says, "The appearance of his face changed, and Moses and Elijah appeared in glorious splendor." The word is radiant. The word is glistening. "And Peter and his companions saw his glory." And in many ways, the transfiguration of Jesus was not only about the Father's second endorsement of his Son, the first word is his baptism, but it's also revealing about what it is to be in the actual presence of God, to experience his glory. Friends, when we sense the glory of God, we're changed. Do you know that? When we're in his presence, we're changed. And when we have had his presence shining upon us, then our demeanor and bearing changes. I believe it's God's intention for us to sense his glory. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our fallen state from Adam means that we have come short of that glory. The glory is the manifest presence of Jesus. There is something about the location, the realm, which God intends for us. It is not a physical place, but it is a state of awareness. It is a state of being, the presence of God. Hallelujah. One final thing, and with this I close. When we're in the presence, we're changed, but when we're in the presence of God, we have a desire for more of God's blessing. Someone mentioned this morning in a prayer, and I said, "Thank you, Lord, for that confirmation." They said, "Do we want more of God?" Do you want more of God? I certainly want more of God. And I wonder whether we want more of God or whether we're just content to stay where we are. the passage we read from this morning, a mishap occurred as they were transporting the ark. The oxen stumbled and Uzzah put out his hand to steady the ark, which under Old Testament law was forbidden. And so he died. And David took the ark to the house of a man called Obed-Edom. And it says that it stayed there for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. You see, friends, God's presence brings blessing, not just inwardly, but to our homes and to our households. Do you know, I go into some homes and I feel the blessing of God. I feel the presence of God, and I feel the peace of God. I was in someone's home this week, and as we prayed, we felt the presence of God. We felt the peace of God. You see, God's presence brings us blessing. When the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7 that the unbelieving husband or unbelieving wife is sanctified by the believing husband or the believing wife, it doesn't mean that they're going to be automatically saved. It doesn't mean that. What it does mean is that that unbeliever is brought into a special place of influence by the believing partner's faith. It means that that unsaved person is brought into a special place of blessing by the believing partner's faith and walk with God. And it's a fact that when we're walking in the blessing of God and carrying the presence of God, other people are affected. When the Sanhedrin that had called Peter and John before them, because they'd healed a man at the beautiful gate, they took notice that they were unschooled, ordinary men, but they took note that they'd been with Jesus. The Bible says that our lives are like a Christ-like fragrance to others. Friends, if you spend some time in the company of Jesus, he'll rub off on you. Do you know that? You'll get like him. Hallelujah. And if you don't spend time in his presence, you won't. It's a fact. And so this morning, let's carry his presence. Can we stand together? Can we stand together as the team come and lead us in another song? And I want to pray this morning that each one of us will know his presence. Lord, we're standing in your presence. And we are open to you. Our hearts are open to you. We thank you for all your love, for all your grace. We thank you for your many blessings that you've poured out upon us, and you do pour out upon us day by day. And Lord, we want to walk in your presence. We thank you because by the power of your Holy Spirit, you make yourself known to us. And you are real to us. We thank you because you're the one who said, I am alive that was dead, and I am alive forevermore. We thank you, Lord, that we serve a living Savior. We bless your wonderful name. Cause us to walk in your presence, Lord. Cause us every day to know that touch upon our hearts and lives. And may we shed your fragrance to others, Lord, as we share you with those around us, as we talk of you, talk of your glorious gospel. Help us to lead others to a saving knowledge of you. Help us, O Lord, to share Jesus. Lord, your hands are our hands, your feet are our feet. Your word becomes our word. Pray, Lord, that your word will dwell in us richly. Day by day, we might lead others to you. You said, Lord, that this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life, knowing you. Father, it is your breath in our lungs. It is your breath in our lungs. It is your presence that you've poured out upon us. Oh, Father, make us more conscious of it as a church, as individuals and corporately. We are your ecclesia, we are your church, those whom you have called out to be a special people. Lord, hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. God bless you all.